happiness is truly on the inside, not on the outside. And too many times we're looking for happiness on the outside and we can't find it. Happiness comes from within, comes from God. Now, truly, though, when I begin to research that, truly the problem is that people are looking for happiness when they already have joy. And there's a difference. And that's the difference. You know, happiness is different than joy. And we'll look at some things actually from a psychological basis. But let's start off in John 15. John chapter 15, verse number 11. John 15, 11. I'm going to read from the New King James today. John 15, 11, and I'm going to start reading. It says, "These things," as Jesus talking, "I have spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full." Now, once again, we've talked about this scripture before. Jesus says, "I want my joy to be in you." All right, and see, there's a difference between my joy and your joy. The reason you have joy is because you have His joy. We'll get to the other part in a minute. But anyway, let's back up actually to verse number 5. Jesus saying once again, He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." And that's really important to understand. Without God, we can do nothing. Remember, we have a scripture, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." What it also says, without him, you can do nothing. And you have to understand that the reason we can do what we can do is because who's on the inside of us? And because, you know, he's on the inside. Anyway, it goes on to say, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Once again, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." We talked about that last week. You know, but, you know, we have to abide in him, and his word has to be in us. And the way we can keep our joy is because his word remains in us. And when his word remains in us, then the joy remains in us. He goes on to say, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and that you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, also I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." And then that's where he says, "These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Now, interesting part about it is many people have said, well, if we just keep his commandments, we can have joy. But that's not what he said. He said, if you abide in me and I abide in you. And so many people are trying to change over the commandments for a relationship. And that's the problem. You know, how many times do we follow rules that we don't really like? There's some of you work every day in a job, and there's certain things your boss wants you to do, and you don't think you should do them, but you do them because that's the rules. I want to get paid. You know, you follow the rules, or especially if you work for a boss that basically says it's my way or the highway, so you'd rather be there. But the point is, it's not about rules. It's about you and him. It's about he abiding in you and you abiding in him and knowing what the word says. And so, you know, and the thing is, joy is something that we're full of because we're full of Jesus. All we think about is what would Jesus do? All we, you know, not their bumper stickers. See, that was the problem. The bumper sticker came out. The people had bumper stickers, coffee mugs and whatever. And they were trying to be what Jesus would be, you know, maybe from the outside appearance, but not on the inside. You have to, you know, in order to do what Jesus did, you have to think how he would think. The only way to think how he would think is to know how he would think. You have to know what his word says. And, you know, and so many times that we don't, on the inside, we're just empty. We don't know who we are. That's why I said we have to know who we are in Christ Jesus. Not who we are, because we're nothing without Christ. And there's many Christians who come to church every Sunday, but they're still lost. I mean, they're not lost in the fact that they're on their way to heaven. They're lost because they don't really know who they are in Christ Jesus. You know, because they're looking for happiness when they already have joy, because, you know, they're happiness and joy are different. They're different emotions. But going on, it says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. greater love has no one than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. And so one way to show the joy is to love one another. Now, it's interesting. I'm reading all this because I'm gonna go through some psychological facts, which I've never really thought about, which is kind of interesting when you look at happiness versus joy. Because a lot of times we think happiness and joy are the same thing, but they're both feelings, all right? But they're different. Because happiness is an emotion which one experiences, feelings ranging from contentment and satisfaction to bliss and intense pleasure. So what does that mean? It says, well, you get a new car, you get happy. But you know, that happiness goes away, you know, a few years later whenever it breaks down. It's just temporary. You know, there's happiness, you know, is different things. I mean, you know, maybe some of you, your wedding day was your happiest day until you got a divorce and that was your happiest. I mean, you know, there's things change. I'm not saying you should get a divorce. I'm just saying that, see, it's an emotional up and down, up and down. I mean, happiness, and the people are looking for, they want to sustain a happiness at all times. It's just like even your kids. You know, I mean, one of the happiest days is when your kids are born. You know, but, you know, sometimes during their life when they're being disciplined, it's not as happy a day on those days. Although they give you great pleasure, sometimes they give you great pain as well. You know, it's not a constant. It's an up and down thing. And you're not on the same level at all points. But it's based upon things that happen on the outside. You know, your favorite football team wins, you get excited. If this happens, you get excited. And, you know, you find $20 in your pocket that you didn't know that you had because, you know, came to the washing machine, which happens a lot to me for whatever reason. And you get excited, or what happens actually more to me, I'll put on a jacket that I haven't worn since last winter, and I find money in a jacket. Because, you know, the Lord provides money in my jacket all winter long. No, what happens is I go to Walmart, I get change or something, you know, the one time I pay cash, which is not very often, but, you know, or something, I get change, and I put it in my jacket pocket, and for whatever reason, forget about it. But sometime this winter, I found $60 in my leather jacket that I hadn't worn since last, you know, springtime or whatever. And so, and that was like right around Christmas time too. Christmas, you know, it's supposed to be a little tight around Christmas time. And I know what happened. What happened was I don't know about you, but for whatever reason, my parents, I mean, well, I know what reason. I don't really ask for a lot of stuff anymore because I don't really care. I mean, I don't play toys and all kind of things. So usually I ask for money. So usually they just give me $100 bills. You know, they always, well, you have a $100 bill. I don't like to write $100 bills. I like to, you know, so, but I'll save one. And so sometimes after Christmas, I'm shopping or whatever, and I'll use a $100 bill, which I normally put it on my debit card, but I use a $100 bill, so I'll have this cash. And so what I did was I used a $100 bill, a broke $100 bill, went to Walmart, bought some stuff, had $60, and put it in my pocket, forgot about it. But, you know, it's so awesome, you know, 9 months later, I found it, it actually turned out a time that I really needed that cash, you know, and so I was pretty happy about that. Now, I mean, it's not like one of my most thrilling days in life, but, you know, but that day it made me happy. You know, there's just days that put a smile on your face. The deal is that you have to understand that you're not always going to be smiling, all right? And you know, life has ups and downs. Life happens. And that's why we read the scripture from James, and count it all joy, because life happens. Things take place. You know, but whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, life happens. You know, the point is, what are you going to do when life happens? And that's when you have to determine that it's not about happiness, but about joy. You know, because when life happens, I have to know what to do. And of course, we all, you know, you've heard me preach many times. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. One thing he wants to destroy your joy. He wants to destroy your happiness. He wants you miserable. All right. Now, interesting, this is not according to the Bible, this is according to psychologists. Joy is a stronger but less common feeling than happiness. And this is the way you achieve joy. By witnessing or achieving selflessness to the point of personal sacrifice frequently triggers the emotion. Feeling spiritually connected to God or to people. Interesting, if you want to have more joy, basically from a psychological standpoint, they tell you, be nicer to people. Especially people that have less than you or do something really nice, like, you know, buy someone's coffee at Starbucks that you don't even know. You know, or, you know, pay for someone's meal at McDonald's that you don't know. Or, you know, anymore, if you don't have a pike pass or whatever, man, these tolls are getting pretty expensive. Especially go to Tulsa and it's like $5 in the middle of the thing. Pay an extra $5 for the person behind you. See how happy they're going to get. You know, for whatever, psychologists have figured out that we actually get joy from being nice to other people. And Jesus was saying, that's why that you need to, you know, do unto others as you would have do unto you. That's why we have to love our brothers and, you know, be nice to people. You know, and because, and if you're nicer to people, actually, according to psychologists, you feel better on the inside. Now, you know, they're talking about natural joy, but this is, you know, a joy lifestyle of being like Christ. I mean, you know, and so sometimes maybe if you want to quit being so miserable, be nicer to other people and you might not feel as miserable. Yeah. According to psychologists, it says happiness is an outward expression of elation, but joy is inward peace and contentment. Inward peace. You know, because, see, joy knows what to do when you face disappointments. Happiness is only good whenever you're facing a great time. You know, and so, you know, in the middle of life's ups and downs, happiness is still present. You just don't feel it. I mean, you know, it's still there. But here's another example. It says, according to an example of what to do, it says, serving others sometimes through sacrifice with no possible personal gain, witnessing justice for the less fortunate, or feeling close to God. I mean, so it's interesting how psychologists really, you know, really attribute joy to being closer to people and to God. Well, you know, really, those are the two rules that Jesus kind of put down for us was, hey, let's love God and let's love people. And if you do that, you're going to feel my joy. And my joy is going to remain in you. You know, and it's going to be with me because, and, you know, it's the joy is there anyway, but you're going to feel it. You know, I mean, there's some kind of feeling about doing something good for somebody else. Especially less fortunate, you know, than others. I mean, I know we've done different things, different projects, and, you know, to raise money for different things. We've helped in tornado relief. I mean, you know, there's just nothing like being there when people are down. And just trying to be a help, you know, trying to help them out. You know, interesting it says, the last thing it says, in life, happiness can be experienced from any good activity, food, or company. But joy is a byproduct of a moral lifestyle. This is from psychologists. Joy is a byproduct from a moral lifestyle. You know, so basically doing what the two rules that Jesus laid down, just love people and just love God. And, you know, but regardless of what we feel, because remember, we're not moved by what we feel, we have joy. And the thing is that the joy that we have, nobody can take it away from you. Your happiness goes up and down. Like, so sometimes, you know, well, for instance, we'll give an example of like my wife tells a story about her sister when they were younger. Her dad went out and bought her a new car. She drove it off the lot, less than a mile away, totaled it. So she went from happiness to sadness. I think it was her fault too, which makes it even worse. Worseness. She went through a range of emotions. How awesome it is to get a new car, but how terrible you feel when you wreck the thing. She didn't have time to wear it out, get a few dents in it. And it is interesting, if you experience a new car, it's interesting, how different you treat the car the longer you have it. So I know some people that, they get a new car and they decide that they need to exercise more. They want to walk, park in the back of the parking lot so no one's parked next to them. But once a couple of door dings gets in there, it's like, you know what, who cares? I mean, might as well, park up front, I got a few door dings anyway. It's not gonna change anything. But things wear out, things get old. But the joy of the Lord never gets old. It's always sustaining. It's always there. And it's interesting as I was reading after one of the authors was talking about these scriptures, because you understand let me get to my next scripture, and then I'll say that. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let's turn the page to John chapter 16. Let's see what he says in John chapter 16 about the same subject. Anyway, John chapter 16 says this right here in verse 22. It says, Jesus talking once again, therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. Now, Jesus is talking about telling his disciples that pretty soon he's going to go away. And when I do, you're going to have some sorrow for a while, but don't be sorrowful, because, be happy, because it's really going to be all for the good. That we get the scripture, all things work together for good. Obviously, it didn't seem like it was a good thing when Jesus died up on the cross, but it's the best thing that ever happened to us. And so what we don't realize was that, see, Jesus took sorrow so we could have joy. But, his disciples at the time were pretty sorrowful. At the time, obviously, didn't know if they're going to kill them. I mean, Peter's denying everything. I don't know the guy. I don't know who that guy was. I never met him, and so they're all afraid and they're all sorrowful. But the interesting part about it is that what Jesus was saying, I was reading one of these authors was talking about, that he's telling these disciples, and knowing that later on these disciples will go through all kinds of stuff. Be beaten, bruised, be kicked out, be jailed, be all kinds of things will happen to them, be tortured. But he was basically telling them, no matter what, you're going to have joy. You might not always have happiness. There might be times where it's not happy. I'm sure Paul, didn't always experience happiness during some points in time whenever he was going through some of the trials in life that he went through. But he said he finished his course with joy. All right, we're looking for happiness when we already have joy. See, the joy is we already know what to do. I think about so many things I've gone through in my life. If I wouldn't know what to do, I don't know what I would have done. I know that sounds kind of really weird. This is the reason why people turn to drugs, turn to alcohol. They get depressed and suicidal experiences, all kinds of, because they don't know what to do. They're looking for happiness, but when we know the joy of the Lord on the inside, it doesn't matter what happens on the outside. It doesn't matter, things happen. They happen sometimes. Life happens. So what do? You keep going. Kind of the scripture, having done all, we stand. Well, yeah, but things didn't happen like you wanted them to happen. So, is that going to stop me? Until I pass from this life, I'm still here. And so, looking at things that didn't happen the way I wanted them to happen doesn't change what happened. It also doesn't change who I am. doesn't change who I am, because I know who I am. And the most important thing, I know who I am in Christ Jesus. You know, and of course, obviously, because I know the word, because we read this, you know, the words, you know, I read the scriptures like I'm more than a conqueror. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above, not beneath. I mean, I know who I am. I tell myself who I am all the time. You know, I don't just do it when I preach. I mean, you know, I don't know how many times, you know, especially going, when you're going through times like it, you know, hadn't been feeling good. But you know what? I tell myself how I feel. I tell myself that I'm a winner. I'm not a loser. You know, tell myself all these things. You know, and it could be, you know, in any area. You know, if you, some people have trouble with their self-worth or whatever, they have to understand, you know, maybe it's not how they feel. It's what you know you are. And the thing is, there's no way that I can lose my joy. I didn't purchase it. I can't lose it. Now, I can lose it, but I have to choose to lose it. That's the point. It's my choice. Jesus gave me this joy for eternity. And he says, as long as I remain in you and you remain in me, your joy is going to be full. Now, sometimes because you get away from the word, you get away from God, your joy, you know, doesn't remain full because you don't remember who you are in Christ Jesus. But once you remember who you are in Christ Jesus, it starts filling back up immediately. And that's why we have to bring things back to our memories. That's why we have to read the word. That's why we have to know the word. And it's not about following rules. Rules are not going to make anything different. I mean, you know, people, oh, I did this, I did that, but that doesn't mean anything. Are his words abiding in you? Your words abiding in him? Are you in communion with each other? And that's the point. So skipping back, I want to say, going back to verse number 19 here. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, "Are you inquiring among yourself about what I said? A little while and you will not see me. Again, a little while, and you will and you will see me." Basically, he was saying, "Now you see me, now you don't." Said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, say that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice." So he said, "You know what? You're going to be sorrowful, but you know what? Ultimately, it's the best thing for the world." He made a sacrifice so everyone else could have joy, and he knew it wasn't going to be happy for him, and it wouldn't be happy for anyone else. I mean, to die on the cross. I mean, you know, and realizing that, you know, when it got down to almost the final moment, he told God, "God, if there's be any other way, let's make that happen." So I mean, he didn't want to do it. He was willing to do it. He didn't want to do it. But he did it because he loved us. Because he was showing forth the love of God. And, you know, and that's why we, when we show forth the love of God to other people, they see God's love through us and the way we act and the way we treat other people. Anyway, it goes on to say this. He says, lament, but the world said, I'm going to skip back to verse 20. "Most surely I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy." See, basically saying you're going to be sorry for a season. There's going to be a time, you know, and it all happens in life, you know, when things you go through, I mean, there might be some sorrows. And, you know, there might, you know, people pass on that you loved, and different situations happen, you know, and you have to deal with it. You have to deal with life in a new way. I mean, you know, even the one thing I really hate is the loss of a pet. I think it's almost cruel that pets, you know, this dog year thing is not really cool. That dogs are man's best friend. I mean, you know, when you get these dogs that, I mean, a dog that lives for 12 years, that's a long time. Well, tell that to a 12-year-old who's had a dog from the day they were born. You know, you get attached to this dog dies. And so now you have to, you know, imagine the world without that dog, you know, it's just hard, you know, I know one of the biggest things on Facebook, everyone's, you know, some people laugh at people, they lose a pet and they, you know, but it's not funny. I mean, you know, people get attached to their pets. And when it's like a real death, you know, from a human being. But the thing is that the great thing about most humans, you know, they live, you know, if they live a full life, it's 70, 80 years or whatever. So you have a long time to be with them. Dogs are a short time. So the bad thing about it is over a kid generation, you know, or whatever, from zero to, well, say 20, you might have multiple dogs, especially if you dogs run out in the street and get hit, you know, up, you know, besides those dogs that get killed by things. I mean, just dogs die of you know, things. I mean, we've had some dogs that live 2 years, some dogs that, you know, live, you know, like one dog lived 14. Had a lot of dogs in my life. And so, and it's sad, you know, but you sorrow, but after a while, you know what, you move on, you because it's not, you know, ultimately that doesn't affect my joy. You know, things happen in life with our kids, with you know, our work or our job. We might lose a job. We might lose a house. We might lose a car or whatever. But ultimately, you know what? I know it's going to be okay because I know who holds my future. Amen. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. You know, and I know what to do. And I know how to do it. The question is do you do it? You know, and so what it's interesting whenever you read this is, you know, the more I find out, if we want to have more joy, I think that, like I said, once again, we just be nicer. But what's interesting that we follow the two rules that Jesus gave us. Be nice. Love God and love people. You know, anyway, it goes on to say, verse 21, it says, a woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers anguish for the joy that a human being has been born into the world. So you know what? Basically, kind of talking about when, you know, a baby's born, there's pain. But as soon as that pain happens, and, you know, the baby's born, you forget about the pain. Didn't matter all this. It didn't matter that 9 months that you went through that seemed like it was summertime the whole 9 months that you were pregnant. And it was 100 degrees outside and in Oklahoma, which I'm sure some of you have been there. I've been there, you know, and all the yelling and screaming, you know, like, you know, how miserable they were. And I mean, all that went away as soon as that baby was born. No, nobody thought about, you know, even if you had a process, you know, when, you know, that healthy baby boy or baby girl comes out, you all forget it because there's so much joy there. So, you know what Jesus was saying, you know, sometimes you're going to have pain, but you know what? Once that pain happens, joy will happen. And some people, well, how is that going to happen? How is things going to turn out for the good? Because you trust God. Amen. Because God's still in control. Amen. Because, you know, he still has the whole world in his hand. Because he's still there. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. I mean, that's why it's so awesome is we have an eternal friend. I mean, you might have no other friends in life. You might be the worst person ever, but Jesus said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll always be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That's pretty close. You know, and the deal is you could have more friends if you're nicer. You might also have more joy if you're nicer. But the fact is that he's always with us. He's always there. I mean, you know, the thing is, you realize you can't shake him. It says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. It doesn't matter what you do, where you do. It says that nothing can separate you from the love of God. There's nothing you can ever do, nothing you can ever say that would ever keep him not from loving you. Now, the other side about it is if we're going to be like Jesus and act like Jesus, and that means in all reality, and I understand people say hurtful things, hurting people say hurtful things, but to be real truthful, there should be nothing anyone could ever say to ever keep you from loving them. Nothing I could ever say or ever do. If you love them the way Jesus loves you. Now, I'm not saying it's easy to do because we're all human. And I'm not saying people can't say anything that disappoint you and make you mad for a season, but you know what? You need to get over it and let the joy come back in. So many people ruin relationships with their family, with friends, and other people that are friends for years. Or maybe their family. And yeah, things were said, things were done, things were probably not right, you know. But you know, once again, he without sin cast the first stone. We all say, you know, and sometimes say, well, I didn't really sin. I just complained back. But you know, gossip is a sin too. Probably one of the worst sins. You know, And just being judgmental is a sin, you know, and so many times, I mean, it's so easy to judge, you know, because, you know, and I think that's one thing that, you know, my son's taught me. He said, you know, sometimes it was tough, he said, meeting some people, some things that they've done. But he says, what I try to do is not think about who they were then, but who they are now and how they act now. You know, and the thing is, when people make mistakes, you know, we can't change their mistakes. You know, if we can change it, we would have done it. But, you know, there's no way to rectify their mistakes. But the thing about it is so awesome. Regardless of what kind of mistakes you made through, you know, when you washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, he takes them all away. He remembers your sin. Now my grandfather always said this, you know, the thing is Jesus won't remember your sins anymore. God won't remember them anymore. So, but people will. And that's the problem. So the point is, Jesus was trying to tell his disciples and tell everyone else, you know what, you need to be more like us, you know, because if I'm in you and you're in me, then we think the same. We act the same because, you know, it's the same spirit. Remember, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. If you have the same spirit on the inside, then you should treat people the same way. Well, and like I said, we talked about it a few weeks ago when Jesus, you know, they brought the woman who was caught in the middle of the adultery, not someone that they thought that maybe that somebody saw. Remember, they caught her in the middle of adultery, which, once again, my point was, where was the guy? According to Mosaic law, the guy should have been stoned as well, but he wasn't. So they asked Jesus, well, what do you want to do with this person? And Jesus basically said, you know, said, well, if you guys think he needs to be stoned, and, you know, if you haven't committed sin, you go ahead and do that. Everybody left. Because, you know, what he was showing was, is that, you know what, even if you're caught in the middle of doing something bad, show mercy, not judgment. Because that's what I do. You know, and so how many times, I mean, I get it. People do things that are wrong. And people, you know, we've all done things that are wrong. We've said things that are wrong. We've lied. We've cheated. We've stole. You know, so, well, yeah, but they've committed worse sins. Doesn't matter. Are we, I mean, you know, it's not like that we're have the Richter scale or the you know, tornado guide. I mean, it's not like, well, that's an F5 sin. I'm only down to F1. You know, I'm like way down there. Or that's a 7.8 on the Richter scale. I mean, you know, see, and that's the problem. The problem is we put everything on a scale. I mean, you know, you go to the hospital, they throw it on a pain scale. Okay, on a pain scale to 1 to 10, you know, what's your pain? And they want, everything's a scale. So what we've done is we've learned to scale everything. And so when it comes to people's sins or you know, whatever, we put them on a scale. Well, they're a 7, they're a 5, they're a 2. I mean, you know, they're a liar, but I mean, I can handle that guy. But, I mean, this guy's a cheat and a crook and all kinds of other, I mean, I can't handle him. You know, and I'm not saying you have to be his best friend, okay? I'm not saying that, you know, and there's also one thing is wanting to change. Because, like I said, Jesus told the woman, go and sin no more. Now, ultimately, I believe she still did, and she probably will at some point in time commit another sin, he's still going to love her anyway, still going to treat her the same. But we don't try just to mess up. And, you know, and I think sometimes in the day and age we live in, it's almost like everyone just says, well, I'm just a big mess up, so I'm just going to keep messing up. But we don't try to do that. But then again, sometimes people are trying so hard not to mess up, but they're getting overbeared on the other side. The deal is, you know, if you'll just live your life, if you'll love people and you'll love God, I find that, man, things just happen a whole lot easier, a whole lot better. And it makes you feel really good, too. I mean, you know, just treat people nicely. Do nice things for them. You know, I do nice things for people on a weekly basis. I mean, I don't know how many, you know, things. Now, you know, I just feel, I mean, I'm online and somebody, you know, having a difficult time in their life. And, I mean, I'll give them money toward, you know, surgeries, toward this, toward that. Now, if they want to, you know, if they're raising money for all expense, you know, trip to Jamaica, I mean, that might be a little different story. You know, but there have been times, I just feel that. Some people I'm close to, some people I'm not. Some people I know from the racetrack. I just feel, God's blessed me. I want to be a blessing to people. But like I said, sometimes we have sorrow for an instant, but you know what? Joy is there for a lifetime. Anyway, it goes on, verse 22, therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. And so basically what Jesus was saying, that, hey, you know what? Go ahead and ask. We want you to be joyful. We want you to be full of joy, not just partially full of joy. I was reading, actually, I have it here. There was a story of Billy Graham was talking about, interesting part, about two different people that he met one day. And here's what he said. He says, we seem never to be satisfied with what we have, rich or poor, healthy or sick, but what a difference it makes when we realize that everything we have been given to us is by God. He says, some years ago, I visited a man who was wealthy and successful. He was the envy of all his friends and business associates. But as we talked, he broke down in tears, confessing that he was miserable inside. Wealth had not been able to fulfill the empty place in his heart. See, he was looking for happiness, and he got this. He got happy because he got money, got this, but it wasn't, he was still empty because he didn't have joy. He was looking for happiness and missing the joy that had already been given to him through Christ Jesus if he knew he had it. But then Dr. Graham said, a few hours later, I visited another man only a short distance away. His cottage was humble. He had almost nothing in the way of the world's possession. Yet his face was radiant as he told me about the work he was doing for Christ and how Christ had filled his life with meaning and purpose. I am convinced that the second man was really the rich man. Although he didn't have much, he had learned to be thankful for everything that God had given him. Paul declared, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. That's from Philippians 4:12, the NIV. A spirit of thankfulness makes all the difference. The thing about it is it's not about what we have, but it's about who we have on the inside. That we have a joy that no one could take from us. And that's why he said, count on all joy, because you know what? We have joy even whenever we're in the middle of a time where it would seem to be sorrowful. And so many times, like I said, when doing tornado relief and different things like, you go to someone's house that's been destroyed, and I don't care whether you had an F5 or an F3 hit your house. Most of the time, they're just going to have to take your house down. Doesn't really, I've never watched and said, you used to see the guy 3 blocks away. He's a whole lot worse off than you were. How do you tell that when guys, house is half there? But the most important thing really isn't the house. It's that they're there. They're still alive. Especially, the talk to some of the people that they were in the middle of the house when it happened. And, I talked to one guy. He was running for cover, but he didn't. He basically was only able to hit the ground and, tornado took his roof off. He was just thankful to be alive. And so a lot of times, it's nice to have nice houses, nice cars, nice things, but those happiness, that goes and comes. But joy is always here. And the thing is that I believe the more we do and the more we reach out and help people, I think the more joy we'll have. And I think that's what we need to do. Like I said, this man, he had nothing really when it comes to, outward appearance. But the thing is, what he had was he had the ability to share the joy he had on the inside with other people. And because of that, that made him even more happy. And everyone's looking for, outward stuff. And I'm not saying, I got the scripture, remember John 10:10, that Jesus came to my life and have more abundantly. And I believe part of being more abundantly is having outward stuff. But it's not just about outward stuff. Remember, he said that if we'll first care about the kingdom, that all the other things will be added. See, there's a lot of principles at work that we don't try sometimes. I'm not saying we, you know, I think that we need to be more caring about the kingdom of God, about, and I don't mean you got to go witness to everybody every day. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying, you know what? If we'll just start treating people like that Jesus did, you know, it'll be okay. Jesus didn't, you know, try to always witness everyone every day, you know, but he just was nice. And I tell you, I mean, just look for great opportunities. And I think that the biggest thing that I've tried to do even more, you know, is just be observant. I mean, just be observant. I mean, I don't care. You're walking around Walmart. You're walking around the mall. You're walking to the parking lot. You know, just, you know, people are hurting all over the place. And they're looking for somebody who knows something. And the thing about it is, you know a lot. I guarantee you. I mean, you know, most of you have been here for a long time. Last few years, you're here almost every Sunday. I know enough. If you just heard things I preach and things Dad preached, I mean, you know something. I know many of you have been in church for most of your life. You know, so we don't realize how fortunate we are that we had a foundation like that, and we know so much. And sometimes, you know, we take it for granted. You know, unlike this one guy that Dr. Graham saw, he said he didn't have anything on the outside, but you know what? He loved to share about what God's done for him, and you know, and how, you know, how awesome. And I tell you, man, you know, they always say the attitudes are contagious. And if you're upbeat and you're more positive, I tell you, it'll make it more positive at work if you're just acting more positive. And you know, instead of showing up, you know, every Monday thinking, man, I don't like the people I work with, my boss is a pain, this and that. You know, if you'll just change your attitude, you know, it'll change your life. Yeah. You know, and a lot of people don't realize that they have a big mission field right where they're at. There's people that I'll never meet that you will. There's people that you'll never meet that I will. I mean, I said, you know, it's so awesome, like around the racetrack and different people that I meet that a lot of people don't really talk to. A lot of people don't think very highly of them. You know, they're just rednecks or whatever you want to call them. And the thing is, you know, I understand people I hang out with. You understand people you hang out with. And so, you know, it's because we understand each other, it's really easy. And that's, you know, I know my dad's pride and joy is, and it's interesting because everyone, you know, in fact, you know, they always call him Pastor Hagen. In fact, that was interesting the other day. My stepson got in a car accident. Unfortunately, it was his fault, so that was bad. So the tow truck driver shows up, and the first thing he said, he saw, because I showed up to, you know, help him, he goes, "Hey, Pastor Hagen." So I thought he hadn't known me from church, and it turned out he didn't know me from church. He knew from the racetrack. You know, it was a guy from the racetrack. It wasn't a church member. Never darkened the door of our church. But he thought nothing but nice things about me and my family because he's seen us at the thing. And he actually was so excited to come and talk and just to be there, you know, because, you know, and he was telling my stepson, you know, that what a nice family we have and all this stuff. And, my stepson's never gone to the racetrack, never. He's just not in that kind of stuff or whatever. And so, but, you know, it just, you know, makes an impression that you make an impression on people. You know, this guy has never came to church. I don't know if he'll ever come to church. But that doesn't mean that we can't, you know, make an impression on them. Yeah. You know, just be nice. You know, and I found out through the racetrack experience, you know, when people don't have anyone, don't know who to talk to, they come and talk. You know, I just did a funeral for one of our racing community. Their parents passed away. They didn't have a home church. And we began to talk how they grew up in church and how they kind of got away from God. And see, it was an open door. And they were so, you know, just impressed with how nice we were and how we, you know, treated them like someone that went to our own church and all that. But that's what you do. Amen. You know, you love people. You know, and so many times we see people hurting, we don't realize that. And the thing is, what's so amazing, when you know what kind of joy you have, you know, and it's just so awesome to share that with other people because people are hurting. Now, it's also interesting that, you know, this before I did this guy's, his mom's funeral, he started watching on Facebook Live. In fact, he even one day actually after he goes, "You just got to hear this message." He put it out to all his friends, make sure they hear the message. You know, so this guy doesn't go to church. You know, but God loves him. He did go to church at one point in time in his life, and you know, that was a deal. Whenever his mama brought him to church and stuff, and then you know, mom didn't have a church, hadn't been to church for a while either because he got older and she wasn't able to get to a church, and you know, but man, joy is different than happiness. And the thing is, we always have joy. There's going to be times in life you won't have happiness, but you know what? That's just a temporary thing. You know, temporary unhappiness. It's kind of like, you know, like I said, it's only a test, like we talked about a few weeks ago. It's just a test. You know, and all things work together for good. And I don't have to try to figure out how it's going to turn out. I don't have to figure out what's going to happen because you know what? I don't have to know my future because God does. He holds my future. You know, but Jesus said, he told the disciples that his joy he leaves to me. That's a personal gift that Jesus wants me to have at all times. And he don't want me to just have joy. He said he wants my joy to be full. And the way for my joy to be full is to abide in him, spend time with him, and be nice to others. Amen. Just be a good person. Just treat people well. It's not hard. I know people are pains. So I get it. You know, I spend a lot of time doing youth ministry, and a lot of people don't like to do youth ministry because youth are pain. They're a pain to deal with. They don't think properly. But then, you know, as our generation doesn't grow up, nobody thinks properly anymore, I don't think, so it doesn't really matter. I mean, can we get an amen? I'm no, you know, many of us older and wiser have like, you know, I think many times, man, when I was that age, you know, maybe I had more responsibility. I don't know. I just felt I was, you know, maybe I was dumb, but I don't know. It's just interesting people. But you know what? The thing is a lot of times what people make excuses and say, well, they'll never this or they'll never that. You know what? First of all, you should never say never. Second of all, the Bible says to train a person the way he should go, and when he's old, they'll not depart. So a lot of the problem is not they're not the problem. We're the problem that we didn't do what we did should have done when they were younger. You know, and put some of the things, and that's for another day. Father God, we thank you for each and every person that's here, and we thank you, Father, to help us understand that each and every day, no matter whether we're going through a time of sadness or happiness, that we always have joy on the inside. Help us understand that the joy is always there, and it's been there since the day that Jesus gave us that joy, and you paid for our joy, Jesus. It wasn't something that we had to do, but we were given. It's a free gift, and it belongs to us. And each and every day, we can walk in the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It keeps us in every situation that we go through. And we thank you, Father, that help us to realize each and every day as we walk that there are people out there that are hurting, and they need to feel that love of Jesus. And the only way they can do that is through us, being there for them and helping them and being kind to them. And Father, we just thank you for everything that you're doing in our life. We thank you, Father, for each and every person here. We thank you for just bringing people across their path on a daily basis. Help us to be a greater witness, to just be there for people. And Father, we just thank you that whenever we're going through tough times in our own life, help us understand that those things are only temporal, kind of like the birthing pains of a mom. Only temporal, but joy, it will sustain for an eternity. Father God, help us understand that true happiness is from the inside. It's not from the outside. It's not about what happens on the outside, but who we are on the inside, who we are in Christ Jesus. Help us to be more full of joy, to act more joyful, to act, to just be who we really are. Father, we just thank you for each and every person here, and we thank you for their lives, and we thank you that You're just helping them be the kind of Christian they need to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up. Before we go, anyone here that need healing, if you need healing in your life, come down here. We want to minister God's healing power to you. We want to make sure that you're healed. Amen. You know, it's one thing to be sick, another thing to be healed. And so each and every time, we've had so many testimonies right here in this little church. I remember, you know, testimony, one lady was going to have her foot amputated, part of her foot amputated. She came, got prayed for, and didn't have to have that. I mean, you know, that's awesome. That's a miracle. You know, sometimes we don't always tell you all these testimonies. Sometimes, that's the thing, sometimes we don't hear testimonies. Sometimes, you know, things happen, we don't hear them. But praise God. Anybody need healing?
I want to tell a testimony.
All right.
While you come forward to be healed.
Can you hand me the... Anybody need healing, come down here.
Oh. Yes, I'll wait.
You can just go and start your testimony.
Well, Pastor Craig, I came forward last flu season. Well, it was in the summer before flu season came. And my daughter flew to Lake Tahoe for a family reunion. And a lady came from India. And she had the flu B. And it hadn't gotten to the U.S. yet. So we didn't have an antidote. So all of my two girls and their two sons in Dallas, that woman brought that to the family reunion, and they all got it. And my daughters they have the authority of the believer. They prayed, everything. My oldest daughter is 39, and she lay very sick. And in August, her little son had to go to school for the first day, and she drug herself out of the bed and took him to Target to get his school supplies on Sunday night because school was the next morning. I walked up here, right there, and he laid hands on me at 7:31 p.m. And I got back in the car after he laid hands, and I stood in for my daughter. And when I got in the car, I text the younger daughter, and I said, why doesn't Holly answer her phone? You know, she had it severe, the flu. And she said, well, she's at Target, Mother. And I thought, oh my goodness. So I called my daughter, and she said, Mom, the strangest thing, I was at Target, and I had all these flu symptoms. And we were picking out the pencils. And she said, at 7:31, I looked at my watch, and it just went away. Just gone. And this man has the gift of healing. And his grandfather spoke that to him also. And, you know, we are believers. We can lay hands on the sick. We can believe. We can receive healing for others. But God has set in the body of Christ people that have special gift of healing. And if you ever have sickness, or you have anybody or anyone that you know, you have them lay hands on you. Pastor Hagen, he absolutely, my Aunt Frances was totally healed in the 80s from listening to him talking on a CD, just on a CD. And these people, you can't go by what it looks like in the natural. You just can't, because God has them set in the body of Christ. And we might have a little congregation, but we have a lot of sickness and perilous times and people being bombarded with all kinds of things. And I'm telling you, anytime I hear of anything, I come right here. And Pretty Boy Floyd's nephew lives across the creek from us, and he came to visit, and he fell the other day and broke six ribs that went into his lungs. He's 86 years old, but he prayed over the cloth, and I took it to him, and I talked to him, and he is just miraculously recuperating at 87 years old. And it is the power of God in this place. You have to know that when we come in and it feels dry and there's nothing going on, and you know, it don't go by your feelings or your emotions. It's real. So if any of you need anything, you need to come here. If you know anybody that you can stand in for, come up here.
Amen. If you need healing, just come down here. We want to minister God's healing power to you. It's not me. It's Jesus. Amen. And understand that I don't do anything. It's Him and His power. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the healing power of God flowing into her life. We thank you, Father, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, that power of God is flowing. And we thank you, Father. There it is, right there. In the name of Jesus, receive your healing, complete healing, complete manifestation. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. I'm doing really well. So that's just, you know, keep believing with this. And, you know, I want to see some tests change a little bit, but, you know, but doing really well, feeling better, you know, and God's good. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, I know Greg was talking to you about, you know, we always do some fellowship times, and it's starting to get a little nicer out. And so if you guys wanted, you know, last few times we've had some sporting events, really hadn't had that many people wanting to go. If you don't want to go, we don't have no reason to go as a church family. So we're trying to come up with some activities. So if you got some ideas or something you might want to do as a church family, let Greg know, and we'll maybe try to schedule some things coming up. Amen? Amen. Well, the way we dismiss around here, you know how it is. I'll be back there, shake your hand. Of course, obviously, there's that door out there if you want to go. All right, God bless you guys. Have a wonderful day.